We are here for the 173rd Mindfulness for Beginners session on Saturday, the 1st of March, 2025. I would like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, representing the Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, to today's session, and also all the organizers and participants taking part via Zoom and Facebook Live today. So, to begin today's session, as usual, we will start with our in-session mindfulness practice. And I would like to very respectfully invite Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to lead us in this. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Arosha. Hello, everyone. So we will start today's session with a mindful sitting practice. For this, you can turn on video and join more actively if you are willing. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Make sure that the sitting posture is balanced and comfortable. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Take a moment to bring your attention to the present moment and notice what you feel. You may feel the surrounding sounds. And some bodily sensations. Time to time, various thoughts, memories come. Day-to-day matters, they come to your mind. But among all these things, you can simply be aware. If you feel like it, you can anchor your attention into the breathing sensation. Whatever comes, just let them come and go without trying to judge or control. Thoughts, sounds, bodily sensations, sleepiness, pain, irritations, all of these things come and go, but we try to continue our mindfulness among these things. Okay, everyone. Now you can open your eyes again. So that's about 10 minutes of mindful sitting. Just to give you an idea about the practice. This is just to show you, give you an idea. So you can practice on your own. What we suggest is try to do a daily sitting session, at least for like 20 or so minutes. And that would be a good start for your mindfulness practice. With that, Tarosha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Bhante. The next part of the session is to invite Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to guide us further in our mindfulness practice through today's reflection and talk. The topic for today's talk is based on balance and this quotation, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. And so with that, I'd like to now very respectfully invite Venerable Dhammakusala to deliver today's Dhamma talk. Over to you, Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Sarosha. So we are starting with a fresh topic today, and we will take some time to discuss about the new topic and how we can relate this to our daily mindfulness practice. Now, most of you are living very busy lives. That's true. You have so many things that you have to take care of. You have to take care of your children. You have to work. You have to attend to your family matters. So there are so many things that you have to do within a day. So when it comes to busy lives, when it comes to busy people, they usually work with lot of energy. Work with lot of energy. But eventually, sometimes they end up stressed. They feel anxiety. They get various diseases, right? So that way, certain disadvantages come with this busyness. Now in Japan, they have noticed some kind of a concept which is called karoshi. And the meaning of this is literally death from overwork. The name is karoshi. And the meaning is death from overwork. They have noticed this tendency in their society where young people who are working very hard, who are doing so much, who don't have much time to rest, right? So that way they function. Maybe for years they function, but suddenly someone gets a heart attack, or suddenly someone get a stroke. So they have studied this and they have given this name, karoshi, death from overwork, right? So you can see when they study this, when they go into details, they found that this karoshi or death from overwork, it is very much related to the stress levels that one is experiencing. Right, so if you are experiencing high stress levels, then you are prone to disease. And sometimes there's this high likelihood that you might get even cancer. Right, so when they study these things, when they find more and more details, they realize that one's stress levels are very much related to the person's health, mental as well as physical health. Right? So we don't want to go that way. We don't want the stress to kill us. Stress kills. And we don't want to become a victim to that stress. Right? So that is important in this level, in this life. That is important in this busy world that we are living in. Right? So with so much work, with so many hours of work, with so many responsibilities, you can't avoid the stress. And the stress is a killer. It makes you prone to more diseases, even things like cancer. And you might even get a heart attack or a stroke due to high stress levels for years on end. Right? So that's the reality in this busy world. And recently they have found this Amazonian tribe, which had hardly any contact with the societies, busy lifestyles. And when the doctors studied them, they have found that these people, they showed the lowest stress levels ever recorded. These Amazonian tribes, which are hardly in contact with the society. And they have shown the best BP levels, blood pressure levels. They have shown best blood pressure levels, as well as they have shown best healthy arterials in them. Right? So this way you can see that when they have low stress levels, they become quite healthy, both in their body and mind. And if somebody is suffering with high stress levels, it is unavoidable that that person becomes victim to the diseases or even things like a stroke or a heart attack. So you can see stress kills, right? So we can't run away into the forest. We can't escape from the lifestyles that we are living. So what would be the solution for this? Right? You have to live your lifestyles. You have to take care of your responsibilities. You have to do so many things. So how can you do those things and still maintain a lower stress level? That is the question that we have to discuss. That's the important matter, right? So what's the solution? The solution seems to be meditation. Meditation is the only solution that will help you to maintain your stress under control and still do all those things in your life. And they have done this research on a 8-week meditation course. Basically, what they have done is, in this research, those people who participated, they had to go through a meditation course for 8 weeks. And daily, not for so many hours, only like 40 minutes of meditation. Let's say a mindful sitting session, 40 minutes. And for 8 weeks. So the researchers, they have studied these participants' brains. And after 8 weeks of meditation, after the course has ended, they have studied the participants' brains once again. So in this research, they have compared the differences. And one important thing is that they have noticed how the brains have changed during these 8 weeks, right? So when they notice that the brains have changed, it is evidence that neuroplasticity is real. What is neuroplasticity? It is basically the ability to change your brain or change your mind. Whatever the things that you practice repetitively, they'll become stronger. And whatever the habits, things that you don't practice, they will disappear. Right? So those evidence, they suggested that neuroplasticity is true. That is valid. And when they have gone deep into these brain scans, they have found some interesting information. The first change that they have identified is the parts that are related to stress. Parts that are related to stress, parts that are related to PTSD, parts that are related to depression, those parts, they have weakened during these 8 weeks. And certain parts that are related to empathy or compassion, things like that, these parts, they have become stronger than the parts that are related to memory, learning. Those parts also has become stronger. Then the final finding is that the parts that are related to emotional regulation, those parts also got stronger in these brain scans. So you can see during 8 weeks time period, they have done the meditation practice, and as a result, they have changed their brains for better. Right? So that research, it will tell us that what is the solution that we have to follow in order to maintain our usual lifestyles while not killing ourselves. We can't do it. We can't kill ourselves trying to maintain these busy lifestyles. Instead, we have to find a solution, a lasting solution. You can try and find various solutions, but they are not lasting solutions. Sometimes you can take a break, but again, you have to go back to the usual lifestyles. Some of the people, they try to manage their stress levels with various addictions, but those addictions are not healthy, right? So you have to find a lasting solution. And when we analyzed the data from the researchers, it suggests us that we should use meditation as a lasting solution for the difficulties that we are facing. Remember, 8 weeks of meditation, 40 minutes daily. That's all they have done. And as a result, these people, they are experiencing lower stress levels. They have become better at empathy and compassion, things like that. Their emotional regulation is stronger. And the memory and those learning abilities, they have improved, right? So you can see how we can change our brains for the better, right? So that's the idea, and that comes to the today's quote, which says you can't change the waves, but you can learn to surf. Right, so basically, Meditation is more like learning to surf. You can't change those waves, but you can learn how to surf. You can't change your lifestyles. You can't run away from your problems. You can't get rid of certain people in your life. But what you can do is you can learn how to surf, how to manage these stress levels, how to deal with your problems in a healthy way, how to practice patience when it comes to the difficult people in your life, right? So that way, we can really find a way to surf among these difficult waves. That's basically meditation, right? It's like you sometimes, let's say some people, they become fearful of their own shadow, right? And what happens? They try to run away from the shadow. They run for minutes, and when they stop and turn back, they can see the shadow is right there, right? So that's running away from these circumstances. It won't help. You can run and get exhausted, but at the end, you realize your problems are right there. You can't run away from these problems, these matters. They will come chasing after you, similar to your own shadow. Right? So that's the reality. Then sometimes some people, they try to embrace their own shadow. They try and try, but still the shadow is a little bit far away. Same goes for the problems, matters that you are facing in your life. You try to solve them. You try to find solutions. You try to answer all these matters. But still, the peace is a little far away. You can't finish. You can't be successful trying to solve all these matters. You can't run away from them, and you can't solve them 100%. Those two extremes are not solutions. You can try, but you won't be successful. At the end of the day, you will be exhausted trying these things. So this meditation approach, it's more like a middle path. You don't run away from them. You don't try to hold on to these things. Instead, you practice some kind of a balance in your mind, similar to the idea of surfing these waves. That's the very idea. That's the way for you to manage your lifestyles and still have your stress under control. Make sure that you don't become prone to disease or things like that, right? And daily, we suggested like at least like 40 minutes of meditation, similar to the length of the course meditation. For 8 weeks, they have done 40 minutes, right? Same matter. You can also try and see how it is helping you reach lower stress level. And when it comes to the meditation, even today we did more like 10 minutes of mindful sitting. And when you try this, you realize that various things come. You become irritated, you get angry, certain memories, problems come to you, you become sad, right? So all these matters happen. But what we do is we try to be mindful and maintain a certain balance. Maybe we try to keep our attention with the breathing. With the breathing, we try to stay our attention. We try to keep our attention. Time to time, various thoughts come. Time to time, various memories come. Certain irritations, problems appear. But we try to be non-judgmental towards the things that are arising. You have to accept these things. You can't get rid of them. These are your thoughts. These are your problems. These are the daily matters that you are facing. So it is natural that they come during the meditation. Right? So what we do is we don't indulge them. We don't try to suppress them. Instead, we practice a middle way. We try to maintain this certain balance in our mind. That is the very mindfulness that we are talking about. We are not indulging it, but we are not suppressing it. We allow them to come and go freely in an non-judgmental attitude. Right? So that's what we do. And you can anchor yourself to the breathing if it helps. For the beginners, for the newcomers, we say, try to hold yourself, try to hold your attention to the breathing. So that's a good practice, right? So this way, you try to continue your mindful sitting for like 30-40 minutes. And time to time, various things come. But among all these troubles, among all these thoughts, you try to maintain a certain level of mindfulness and try to continue for like 30-40 minutes. And when you do that, in your practice, you are creating a certain kind of a balanced mind. This is the mind, or this is the attitude that will allow you to surf these waves. You are not indulging them. You are not suppressing them. Instead, mindfully, you let them come and go. That's the very idea. That's the very approach. And you realize sometimes certain irritations, certain unpleasant sensations, they arise. But you have to understand these things arise within you. They don't come from the outside. Let's say, for example, you meet a certain person that you don't like. Suddenly you get irritated. Sometimes you react to this person. You speak harsh words, or you do something with your irritation, right? So you can see most people think that it's that person that is bothering you. That's the usual way of thinking. But you have to understand it's not the person. It is the unpleasant sensation that arises in you. Maybe the irritation or some other unpleasant sensation. So basically, you are reacting to this sensation. Basically, you are reacting to the things that arise within you. It's a mistake to think that it's that outside person. But actually what happens is all these unpleasant situations, sensations, all these irritations, they arise within us. Right? So when we do the mindful practice, little by little, you start to realize this is how the unpleasant sensations are arising. And mindfully, we try to notice how these sensations arise, how they last for a while, then at the end, they disappear. Beginning, middle, and the end. So even an unpleasant sensation, you can notice its beginning, you can notice the middle, and you can notice the end. This way, you can feel how these unpleasant sensations are coming and going. Initially, you react to them, but with repetitive practice, you develop the ability to manage them or to face them without much reaction. One person, this person was sharing their mindful practice and was saying something like this. During the day-to-day encounters, whatever the unpleasant sensations, whatever the situations that person has to face, he or she was paying attention to the reaction within. Let's say when the anger arises, that person was paying attention to the inside and was noticing how the anger is arising in one's body. When sometimes feeling sad, bring your attention to the inside and notice what sadness feels like. Sometimes when jealousy arises, instead of letting your attention flow outside, bring your attention to the inside and see how the jealousy feels like. You can even notice changes in your body. You can even notice changes in your breathing. When the anger arises, there are certain sensations, changes in the body. When the anger arises, the breathing changes in a certain way. Right? So that's a good practice. Instead of allowing your attention to wander into the outside, you try to bring your attention inside and notice how these emotions, how these situations, how they feel. That's a good way of practice. And when you are mindful, although the anger is there, when you are mindful, you are no longer the anger. Although the jealousy is there, when you are mindful, you are no longer the jealousy. Although the sadness is there, when you are mindful, you are no longer the sadness. Let's say even various thoughts, mental proliferations. When you become mindful, you are no longer the thoughts. You are no longer the mental proliferations. That is the very approach. Some people, they complain, although I become mindful, the anger is still there. Let the anger be. But when you are mindful, you are no longer the anger. Some people, they complain, the thoughts are there. But when you are mindful, you are no longer the thoughts. That becomes our very meditation. If you become mindful, then that's the way to face these difficulties, these unpleasant sensations, these irritations that arise in you. Even the thoughts, memories, various proliferations, let them be. But when you become mindful, you are no longer the thoughts. You are no longer the proliferations. That's the very idea of the practice. Otherwise, if you try to get rid of the thoughts, if you try to get rid of these emotions, that doesn't work. Instead, what can you do? You can be mindful. And when you be mindful, you are no longer these thoughts or emotions. That's the very approach, the correct approach towards the practice. And you can realize wherever your attention goes, the attention is more like the boss or the owner of your brain or of your mind. Wherever your attention goes, the brain follows. That's what happens. That's why the neuroplasticity works. Right? So you have to be careful about the things that you give your attention. If you give your attention to negative things, if you keep indulging them, then you are encouraging that very behavior. If you give the attention to positive things, if you keep on indulging them, then you are encouraging that very behavior. So the brain follows. Attention is the owner. Wherever our attention is, those behaviors, they become stronger, they become more prominent. So that's why it's important to be mindful. When we are mindful, we are no longer those negative tendencies. Even we are no longer those positive tendencies. Instead, we have this balanced mind. And when we practice repetitively, what are we encouraging? We are encouraging that balanced mind. Not only in meditation, even in our daily lives, little by little, we will be able to maintain that balance in us. Things come and go, but we try to be mindful. Even your family members, your friends, your colleagues, you can't expect them to be perfect, right? It's not okay to expect them to be perfect. People, they have flaws, right? You love them for certain things. You hate them for certain things. But that's not the proper way. Because whenever you notice their flaws, you become angry, you start hating them. That's not correct. Instead, what you can do is, you can love that very person, including all the good qualities, as well as including all the bad qualities. That's the very person. You can't only appreciate the good ones and try to get rid of the bad ones. That doesn't work. What you can do is you can accept the whole person, and the mindful attitude will allow you to do that. We are not trying to change others. Instead, we are practicing acceptance towards them. We accept their positive ones as well as we accept their negative ones. We accept the whole person, including all their flaws. And if you have that type of acceptance, if you have that type of a balanced mind, then you would be much better off. You would be able to deal with these people with a lower stress level. Otherwise, what happens is the person is the same, but you become prone to stress. Whenever you see these negative tendencies in them, you become furious. You become stressful. That's not good for you. Right? So what can we do? We can have that balanced attitude in us and accept the whole person, including all their flaws, as well as including all their good qualities. And the mindful practitioners, they don't try to meddle with somebody else's lives. Instead, you allow them to be, and whenever can, you can help, of course, but you don't try to interfere with their lives. People are who they are, right? You can't really change them. Even when you think about yourself, it's not easy to change your behaviors. Same is valid for the others as well. So the better approach would be to accept them. Accept the whole person, including all the positive as well as negative tendencies. Even the situations, certain situations are there. Let's say maybe your workplace, there are certain situations that you don't like. In your life, there are certain situations that you don't like. Of course, the situation might be bad, but what happens is that most of the time, you become even more stressful in your mind facing this situation. You dread this situation. And sometimes, the imagined version is even more worse than the actual experience, right? They are called extreme dreaders. They fear a certain situation in their mind and they suffer due to that imagination. And sometimes it is even worse than the actual experience. Actual experience is much easier than the imagined scenario. So you can see they are creating unnecessary stress in their mind. Of course, you might have to go through certain unpleasant situations, but when you fear it, when you create additional stress, it'll feel worse in your mind. So if you can develop that mindful attitude, of course, you might still not like the situation, but you know how to keep your balanced mind and face these situations with a lower stress level. And that's important, right? So that way, whatever the people in your life or the situations, you can face them with a lower stress level. And if you develop that ability, then that helps a lot. Because the stress kills, you don't want to become a victim to those things. All right, so that's the idea for today. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Panthe, for that very insightful and helpful talk with lots of practical advice on how we can both develop our core mindfulness practice, but also draw on it in our daily lives to minimize and hopefully even avoid stress. That brings us to the next part of our session, which is to review and refresh our recollection of the guidance for these sessions on mindfulness for beginners, as well as to hear the practice reports that participants have sent in for Bhante's further advice and guidance. So I would now like to invite Samantha to lead us in this activity, starting with the review of the guidance on mindfulness practice. And then following that, Samantha will also lead a short Q&A where everyone can ask any questions they have. Over to you, Samantha.
Thank you. Thank you, Arosha. And Abhasarai Bhante, and thank you very much for that amazing talk. The best medicine I need, actually. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And hello, everyone. I'd like to, before I actually read all the reports today, Bante, we have one report so far. I'd just like to remind everyone and also if anyone has any questions regarding today's talk, please do ask at the end of the session, or any comments if they have, there's an opportunity. Before we do that, I'll just quickly remind everyone, especially any newcomers to the program that may be listening, the basic guidance on how to meditate and submit your experiences in the form of a report to Bante. Arusha has just put in the link if you have a look, if you check the chat box or the instructions. And then this is a good opportunity, and then Bante will give valuable guidance and advice how to personally progress in your own meditation. So do make use of this opportunity. In the chat, as you can see, there are two helpful video links put together by Nisarana Vanaya on both mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can allocate some time for the practice daily, starting with, as suggested, with walking meditation, and then sitting. As Bante advised, start with 40 minutes a day, and then gradually increase it to 2 hours per day. Then please submit your experiences in writing, both the mindful walking and sitting to Bante. There's in the chat, there's an example of how to do this. For instance, if you're walking, you can describe any prominent sensations, texture of the ground, pressure points of the soles, how you experience the sensation, and how the body weight shifted. Similarly, in sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any sensations that are prominent. At the nostrils, the incoming and the outgoing breath, that any sensations that you feel, the rise, or it could be the rising of the abdomen. So any sensations, what you are mindful of. So you can write your mindful experiences also on daily activities. So it's not just walking or sitting. We have to be mindful, or try to be mindful throughout the whole day. That is also part of the practice. Then in the session, Bante will give valuable guidance. So this is really will be helpful for your own practice and how to progress in your meditation. So you can send your reports either in Google form. Arusha has just put the links in the chat, how to do this, and by email using the links Arusha just provided. So this is a good opportunity to get personal guidance from Bante on your meditation progress and how to continue with your mindful practice during the week, as advice, according to the advice given by Bante during the session. So it's a very good opportunity. So do make use of this time. And so now I'll go to the reports, I think, yeah. And if anyone, by all means, if anyone has any questions or on the meditation or on their practice, do put it in the chat box as well. Bhante, we have one report so far at the moment, which I will read now. So this one is on mindful walking, the first section. So, walked indoors, attention naturally was on feet movements. Other noticeable things were contact of clothing on body, weight shifting from left to side, hardness of the foot pressing on the floor. Sometimes aware of thoughts, but these pass uneventfully. Boredom-like feeling and alertness was there in mind. A bit like watching things in slow motion. This is familiar sensation of walking now. Walked for 50 minutes. So the next section is mindfulness during the day. Last couple of weeks were useful in noticing old but firm patterns or habits in mind. Some are useful and others not so much. Something like an internal feeling system noticed. Patterns seen as useful seem to be filed for use again. Those that were seen as unhealthy for self and others were noted and internally filed in another part of the mind. At least this was the process observed during the contemplation. During interactions with others, it is easier to see how different emotions arise, the related core beliefs and resulting behavior. Sometimes the old pattern is activated and the mind carries on with it unaware. At other times, mindfulness helps with catching the start of an unhealthy pattern, offering more appropriate options. With mistakes, there is less agitation experienced. And when things go smoothly, there is less excitement. It may be sound like boring, it may sound like boring, but it's experienced as peacefulness. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Seruan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, a couple of things that I would like to comment. The first one is that boredom that you're experiencing in the walking, usually the worldly people or the non-meditators, they don't like to experience boredom. They try anything in order to get rid of that. Let's say on a holiday, you early in the morning, you think that I'll relax today. It's a holiday after a long time, so I'm going to do nothing. I'll just relax. But what happens when you spend a couple of hours is that you don't like the boredom. And you end up doing so many things during a holiday. Right? So usually people, they don't like to experience the boredom. And in the winter countries, they have this idea of wintering. That's more like nature's way of forcing a retreat on you. Right? You can't go outside, you have to stay indoors, and there's nothing to do. Sometimes you get winter blues, right? So all those things affect your mental health. So the idea of wintering, it's more like, you know, how to manage this, how to go through this period, right? So that's the reason is why people struggle with such things so much, is they don't like the boredom. Even in a person in prison, they although they are imprisoned, they have certain company with them. They have certain activities for them to do. But what would the authorities do if they want to punish a prisoner? They'll put this prisoner into an isolated dark room. That is the punishment. You already are in a prison for a punishment. But how to do a greater punishment is to isolate them in a dark room. Right? So you can see how much people hate the boredom. They don't like to experience it. But in our meditation, we gradually develop the ability to experience the boredom, to withstand the boredom. It doesn't come within a couple of sessions. But what you have to do is you have to gradually accept, little by little accept. And the practice will take you towards that. Now, in your report, you are mentioning now there's more acceptance towards this feeling, right? So that gradually developed. So take the boredom as a good sign. Take the boredom as a positive sign and continue your practices like this. Then when it comes to the second part, which is very much related to the idea that we were discussing, now you can see unhealthy patterns and you can see how the healthy patterns are appearing as well, right? But the unhealthy patterns, they still have a lot of strength. So sometimes you lose yourself and the unhealthy patterns get activated. Right? But sometimes you have mindfulness and you can catch it and you can simply follow a much healthier pattern. Right? So this way, you can see how the old or the unhealthy patterns are there, how the healthy patterns are there, right? Don't try to exhaust yourself trying to get rid of everything, trying to get rid of everything unhealthy, right? That's not the way. Instead, simply continue this process. Accept those unhealthy patterns. Know that sometimes you are unmindful, and you become a part of these unhealthy patterns. But sometimes you can catch and you can instead execute a much healthier pattern. Right? So that way, little by little, continue for few months, few years. That's the very idea of this practice. And when you continue like that, you become much better at it. You realize that healthy patterns are becoming stronger and stronger. Still, the unhealthy patterns are there, but they have lost their power. They have lost their strength, right? So that's the very change that we try to undergo. And sometimes when it comes to the practice, when things go smoothly, you feel like there's no much learning or no much wisdom arising in these situations, right? Because the things go according to your plans and things go smoothly, right? But sometimes you realize that things go out of control. And if you think about the way of practice, if you have the proper attitude towards the practice, when things go out of control, that's where the true wisdom arises. Because you're out of your comfort zone, right? So those incidents, they will teach us a lot. But what happens is that we don't like to go through them. We don't like to experience them. But the practitioner, they would like to take that challenge. They give this idea, you know, you walk on a path and you come to a fork on the road. Which path that you are taking? That's a question that's asked. Which path will you follow? Most people, they prefer taking the familiar path. Right? But if you take the unfamiliar path, then that path will lead you into the unknown. You don't know where you are going. And when you have that uncertainty, your mind is very sharp. You are on toes. You are attentive. Right? So that way we can learn a lot in the process. Same goes for this, for the mindful practice as well. When things go smoothly, there's not much learning. But when things go out of your control, when things become chaos, there's so much insight in that experience, right? So try to go through such experiences mindfully, and that'll allow you to grow in wisdom. Chaos is very much a part of this practice. Most of the practitioners, when they have this samatha approach towards meditation, they don't like chaos. They prefer the smooth run. But if you know the correct practice, if you know how to develop or grow in wisdom, then you have to understand, or you have to accept chaos as well. That things go out of your control. And that's a unique experience that you have to go through and learn a lot, grow in wisdom, right? So don't try to hate those opportunities that you get. Don't try to get rid of them. Instead, no matter how much we plan, sometimes the chaos arises. Things go out of your control. And if you can balance that situation, then you realize that very situation, it is leading you towards the unknown. And there are so much potential in that, right? So try to accept them more and more, and try to see how this uncertainty brings us wisdom, right? So that's the idea. Thanks for sharing your experience.
Thank you, Bhante. That was very valuable advice. I think that's the we've only got, let me just have one question that we had, Bhante. Let me just see in the chat if there's any other questions. So far, there aren't any. So if anyone has any questions on their meditation practice or on today's talk, please raise your hand or put in the chat box and I can read it to Bhante. So I'll just give a few minutes if anyone has any questions. So till at the moment there aren't any, but till till we get some, I personally, if I may, Bhante, would just like to say it was really a valuable topic that Bhante spoke this morning, and the advice. Because for me, obviously the meditation is the best medicine, I think. And I am trying to increase my practice during the week. I've started with like at least half an hour every day, if not every other day. And so that's really encouraging. And I was just wondering, in doing so, now controlling emotion seems to be quite a big part in our lives, especially with dealing with stress. Would meditation, obviously you don't want to suppress the emotions, would they actually change one's emotion or the mind structure through meditation so that you will become less anger and less hatred and jealousies as well? That's one thing I was thinking about. And secondly, thank you for reminding, like, when things arise, to look, watch inside myself, not outside the object. Like, watch be with my sensations or feelings in the body and see the rising, changing and the passing away. That is something that's really helpful, and I'll try to do. Bhante, so I'm just wondering about this emotions. Through meditations, can we control our emotions eventually? Do they reduce? Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, right. So let's say if there is no change that can be achieved, then there is no real neuroplasticity, right? Or there's no help with the meditation, right? So when you ask whether we can get them under control or whether we can change these emotions, right? If there's no change, then there's no hope. Then we can say the anger is the ultimate power, and we can't do anything about it. And, but that's not true. The very idea of neuroplasticity or meditation is that you can change yourself. You can change your brain patterns. You can change your mind patterns. That very change is the promise in this practice. And that very change is happening all the time. Some people, they were fine maybe like a decade ago, right? Due to certain circumstances in their life, which developed gradually, they have trouble these days, right? They might say that a decade ago, I was fine, but now I'm weak in my mental well-being. Why? Due to certain circumstances, their mental well-being, it has decreased. It has become more unhealthy, right? So the change is there. Change is happening. Even if you reflect on yourself, you might find certain emotions, they were so prominent earlier. Now, you are prone to anger more, maybe. Or somebody else, they are prone to something else more, right? So those things happen. The mind is always changing. That very change is the neuroplasticity, or that very change is the key towards the practice, right? So you can change them, but it takes time. It's not like trying to control these emotions, anger. Most people, they will say, try to control your anger. But controlling never works. You can control, but next day you lose it, right? So controlling is probably not the correct word for it. Instead, we disclaim the ownership of the anger. That is the very idea, right? If you lose yourself in anger, or if you try to control your anger, both those behaviors, they are feeding the very anger. If you lose yourself, you are definitely feeding the anger. But when you try to control anger, that too is indirectly feeding it. Right? So you can't really control or lose yourself in anger. That's what happens to most people. Right? But the proper way is to disclaim the ownership of it. How to disclaim the ownership? If you become mindful for a moment you disclaim the ownership to the anger. If you become mindful of your thoughts, for a moment you disclaim the ownership. If you become mindful of your mental proliferations, for a moment you disclaim the ownership. That's the very change that will happen. And when you disclaim more and more, you realize that still the anger is there, but it doesn't have that much energy or control over you. What has happened? The process has worked. The meditation has worked. Right? So that's the very idea. You deal with your daily matters. You do your responsibilities, you work with people, but you are not so much tightly gripped in those situations. It feels like you are dealing, but you are not really dealing. You are listening to somebody's problem, but you are not really listening. You are experiencing these things, but you are not really experiencing. Right, so that type of a change will happen in you. And most people, they don't like it. They want to feel it. They want to experience it fully. That's the way to get yourself a heart attack. Right, but in this practice, what happens is that you disclaim the ownership of this thing. You still talk to people. You still go through experiences, you still feel emotions, thoughts, but you are not really experiencing them. You are not really feeling them. Right? That change will happen. Earlier, when you hear somebody else's problems, maybe you become sad even more than the owner. But now, you are still listening to the problem, but you are not really listening. You go through certain experiences. Earlier, those experiences have created so much stress in you. Still, you go through those experiences, but it feels like you are not really going through the experience. So you understand this like some more like a divided mind, a split mind. Attention is there, but it's not really there, right? So that change will happen. Those are signs of disclaiming the ownership of this thing. You are giving up the ownership of this thing. And that's the only solution, right? More you give up, more peaceful you will feel in your mind. So it's good that you do your daily practice, 30 minutes or plus.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the research, they have done 8 weeks continuously. After 8 weeks, they have seen all these changes. So we also would recommend you to continue for a few months and see the changes for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you for being treating. Thank you. Thank you. Very powerful. We've actually reached the end of the time as well, the session. And there aren't any more questions. I'll now hand over to back to Arusha to finish the program. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you very much, Samantha. So yes, as noted, we are now at the end of the time that's allotted for today's session. So let us conclude today's session on mindfulness for beginners just by recollecting some of the things we did, such as practicing mindfulness together within the session, and also listening to a very valuable talk by Bhante explaining how we can benefit from our mindfulness practice in our daily lives. And altogether, these activities should help strengthen our mindfulness practice and equip us to continue to develop and also report our experiences at future sessions. So let me also express my gratitude to those who shared practice reports today to help us all collectively learn about how to develop our practice further. Let me also very respectfully and gratefully thank Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for his generosity in giving us his time and wisdom to support our mindfulness practice. We hope that the merits of this noble activity will support and enhance Bhante's own practice, and we hope he'll be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. On behalf of the organizers and all the participants, I would also like to acknowledge and express my gratitude to Most Venerable Udayiri Gamadamajiva Mahathero for his encouragement, guidance, and support for initiating this program of mindfulness for beginners in English. And finally, let me thank all the organizers and all the participants for their enthusiastic engagement with this activity. With that, I would like to close today's session and look forward to seeing all of you at future sessions starting with next Saturdays. Wishing you a very mindful week ahead. Thank you.